right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Half Hour of Power. Joe Diesel here.
This
is Jesse here? Jesse, you're here? Hey, we weren't at your house. What's going on?
Well, I thought we were doing this show from Skull Island this week because we did it last week. I thought we were just going to do it again this week on the old Skull Island.
Well, did you think I was going to stay there a whole week?
Yeah,
I was lucky to get off that island alive. Where are you at?
Well, I'm right near where the valley, where the brontosaurus is, to hang out. You know, you saw that, didn't you?
Oh, my! You need to get out of there.
And I will say this, Joe. Since you've been gone for a week, they've really improved the special effects of this place. So it's much better now than when it was when you were here.
I bet. Well, I'll let you know now, there are these little velociraptor-type things on that island now. They weren't there when I was there before. But
yeah,
I was reading a vacation brochure for Skull Island, and they say they're there now.
Yeah, and they are, and they're nice. They, as long as you have Chris Pratt with you, it's all fine.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay, so, yeah, obviously we are talking about King Kong, and some of you are going, you're talking about King Kong again? I thought you did that last week. Well, sure, we did, but we are talking about Peter Jackson's King Kong, which turns 10 this year. Actually, this month, in a few days, it opened December 14th, 2005.
Yep.
So, what?
I said today's
the 11th,
so that would be 3 days
from
now.
Did I get that wrong?
No. You got a computer on. I'm on Skull Island, damn it.
Oh, okay, yeah, so that opened. It had a running time of 3 hours and 7 minutes. And could just to... In comparison, the original King Kong ran, 90 minutes?
Yeah.
Less than 90 minutes? let's back up just a little bit. What did you think of this, King Kong?
I'm not a fan. I think it's... I wouldn't say... It's a little bit above meh. It's okay. It's okay. That's all I can say. It's okay.
Yeah, so sounds like I liked it a little better than you did, but this movie's way too long. It's way too long. It's way too overly melodramatic in a lot of places. But overall, I do like it because, for me, the monster fights, even with some of the monster fights, and some of the monster encounters they have, that gets to be a little bit too much, too. And you never thought you'd say that. It's like you want more and more and more. Sometimes you just need just the right amount. And I thought he went just a little bit too much with some of the monster encounters in this. But overall, I still liked it. And I liked it enough to buy the extended cut. The 3-disc extended cut. Now, I believe the running time at 3 hours and 7 minutes was the original cut running time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to find what the extended cut runtime is, but I'm not finding it right away. But anyway, there's actually more monster fights in it. There's a little bit. A little more character development in it. I think you watched it. You and I got together earlier and watched it before you went to Skull Island.
Yeah.
We watched it. So I don't know. So now you know where to go.
So that was
the extended cut we watched. Did you notice anything different in it at all that was like, oh, well, that should have been in it?
I believe we started the movie last week when you came back from Skull Island, and we just finished it right before I left for Skull Island. So, no, not really. I mean, that movie, there is so much in it that is not needed in the first place that...
Yes.
It's hard to know. I mean, Jackson has this really big... I'm going to say it's a problem because it seems almost like he should be sent to rehab for it. But he loves extended cuts. He, you know, oh, I made the movie, but this is what I really wanted in it. It's like, oh, my God. His Lord of the Rings movies were like that. And the first two, I could stand. The third one, oh, man, I walked out of the theater because I was just ready for it to be over. I was like, I'm done with this movie. I'm done. And I got up and I left.
Yeah, so... I just found there were 13 more minutes added to that extended cut, and they were action scenes. And I think as you and I were watching, it's like, well, that could have been cut, and that should have been cut, because this movie starts, King Kong isn't even in it until like 70 minutes into the movie. I mean, it's like, it takes forever for him to get there, and with a movie like this, you really just want to get it going and get to it, and he takes forever to set it up and for it to get there. I mean, there's this, they're developing side character, they're trying to develop side characters. You're like, I don't care at all about those characters. And you know the ones I'm talking about, Jimmy and Mr. Hayes. Jimmy's played by Jamie Bell. And Mr. Hayes, I was trying to get his name, was Evan Park, was it? Evan Park plays Mr. Hayes. So these two guys, they have some kind of a father and son bond for them, and there's a lot of little asides with them talking, and, no, Jimmy, you have to live. Jimmy, you've got to be good. Jimmy, what are you doing? Jimmy, 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 Jimmy. And you're just, he could have cut out all of that stuff, and nothing would have been missing from the movie at all. You wouldn't even miss that at all. Instead, you're sitting there watching it going, man, that could have been cut out.
They were two useless characters who later on have no payoffs whatsoever. I mean, I guess it makes you feel a little bit more like, oh, Mr. Hayes, he's dead now. Jimmy's all alone. And I kind of, the relationship they have, you said father and son, I thought it was a lot more disturbing than that.
You're reading a lot more into that.
Yeah, so for some reason, I thought he was going to run over to Mr. Hayes and, like, look at him as he was dead and kick him in the ribs and then leave. Like, because, you know, it just seemed so wrong what the relationship was. I mean, like, Bruce Baxter. I like Bruce Baxter so much in the movie, but were they entirely needed? No. They could have cut him out, too, altogether. And cut some time off that film, because, really, technically, he really doesn't do... He has that one big moment, and then the rest of it's kind of like almost like comic relief.
Yeah, a lot of the characters, the ones that they really should be building up are the ones that are there in the end in the New York scenes.
Right.
Because those are your main people. But they don't, I don't think they even built up Jack Driscoll as much as they were building up some of them side characters. It didn't feel like that to me.
Well, I mean, thank God they didn't develop him enough, because having to look at Adrian Brody is a chore in itself. I was glad they didn't. I don't know how Peter Jackson thought, oh, I'm going to hire Adrian Brody. He looks like a guy who could be an action hero. No, he's not. That role should he was...
To be fair to Jackson and Brody in this movie, he's not supposed to be playing an action hero. He's actually playing as Ann Darrow called him, a bookworm.
But he takes over...
Literary type.
The stuff that he does in that movie, he's supposed to be the action hero. I mean, he's running around, he's jumping on vines, he's got a Tommy gun.
Adrian Brody?
He's doing all kinds of crazy crap in that movie.
Oh, he's doing it for the woman. But he wasn't supposed to be playing an action hero in this.
Yeah, but I'm saying that he takes over that kind of role.
Well, I'm not saying he doesn't do action-y things, but, you know, his character's not...
Mm. He's not
not an
to,
action
that,
hero.
That, you know, honestly, he does more of that stuff but, than any kind of bookwormy stuff in the movie.
Well, he wrote
a
whole play in it. I don't know where he had time to do that, but he wrote a whole play.
Yeah. I think the best bit of casting in the film... is Jack Black. I think Jack Black was perfect for that role of Denham because Jack Black, that's his life. He is a showman. That's what he does, you know?
Yeah. He was really good in it. So let's try and take ourselves back to when we were hearing that this movie was going to be made. What did you think about that when you heard that it was going to be made and that Peter Jackson was going to do it?
I probably thought the same thing I think about every time I hear about a remake. I probably thought it's not needed. There's no need for a remake of King Kong. Because the 1933 version is great. And I don't see how he could top it. And he didn't.
No, he didn't top it.
I kind of got the feeling, and this, I mean, you could tell Peter Jackson loves that original. That original is close to his heart. And it almost seemed like he wanted to take every story ideal that poor Marion C. Cooper had to cut out, and he wanted to put back in. Like the insect scene when they fall down off the log into the that ravine. You know, that wasn't the original. But it had to be cut out.
Yeah, So, if you don't know, the original King Kong, that's really the movie that Jackson saw that made him want to make movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, he does love it, and I think this movie kind of suffers the same way that Superman Returns suffers. Bryan Singer loved Superman the movie so much that he just kind of remade it. And
right.
This one, I think, is similar in that way, that he loved this one so much that he just wanted to keep making it, and he didn't want to stop making it because it just keeps going and going and going.
I mean...
One of the other things is he was going to make this one originally right after The Frighteners, and some of the concepts they had for it back then, have you ever read any of that stuff? They just sound so off the wall and ridiculous. I'm glad they didn't make it back then.
Like the Ann Darrow wasn't going to be an actress. She was going to be the daughter of a archaeologist who was the one who discovered Skull Island. And that Driscoll was going to be his assistant, and that they were going to go back to Skull Island and try to discover where, you know, her father died at and stuff like that. That sounds horrible. I like that they kept the original kind of plot line going from the original movie. He didn't really change it that much. He just put excess
added
on
so much. Yeah.
He put a lot. And some of the things I think that, in, you know, kind of tone-wise, it kind of I didn't enjoy. I didn't enjoy the savages or the native people. They were horrible to look at. They were horrible, just horrible all around. And I didn't mind the fact that King Kong was killing them and that the people from the boat were going to come in.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. The natives in the original Kong, they didn't kill any of the film crew, did they?
No. In fact, the film crew
And the film
like...
crew didn't kill any of the natives. I mean, in this one, the first thing the natives do is kill some of
the
landing
guy.
Party. They kill the sound guy, then they grab one of the other ones, put his head up down on a rock, and smash his head in with a club.
Yeah.
So you can't sympathize with them at all because they were just going to kill every single one of those people. And they were not, the landing party, they weren't exploiting the natives at all in any way. They weren't, you know. Anyway, here we go to a break. So we'll be right back and talk some more about King Kong. Do you live in a remote area of the world, like an island or a massive plateau,
Are you one of the last few of your race? Are you sick and tired of getting calls from overzealous filmmakers that want to cast you in their movie as cannon fodder for the main character? You are? Well, are you also a T-Rex? You are! Well, then you need to call and join T-Rex Union against the exploitation of prehistoric animals. Why is this T-Rex always the villain against giant monsters in the giant monster slugfest movies? Why does King Kong get to bite out your tongue and rip your face apart? Well, he looks like a hero and you just look like a seedy little henchman. Why does Godzilla always get to burn you to a cinder, providing years of meat to third world countries? You're a T-Rex. Your feelings matter too. The T-Rex Union against the exploitation of prehistoric animals will protect your interests and make sure that you are never, ever exploited again. You will get that lead in that vampire movie you have always wanted. You will be the hero. T-Rex Union against the exploitation of prehistoric animals. Call today and be a hero tomorrow. Warning, the T-Rex Union against the exploitation of prehistoric animals does not care if any other prehistoric animals are exploited or killed or fed to hungry nations. So stop trying to join, you bunch of velociraptors. You are not T-Rexes. All right, we're back. We're talking about King Kong, Peter Jackson's King Kong. 10 years. Oh, I can't believe that it's been 10 years since this came out. So, yeah, so since it's been 10 years, I don't think my feelings toward the movie have changed that much. I think, what do you think about the design of Skull Island? How do you think that looks? I mean, we just talked about the design of the natives, and we thought they were a little bit too creepy, a little bit too much and too mean. What do you think about the overall island, really? Because really, in this one and in the 33 one, the island's really a character also.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that? Do you think, if I would think that's really the main thing that he got right, the look of the island and the way the island is.
The island was fine.
What about you?
I thought the island was fine because it seemed like he actually shot in a lot more a lot more real locations for the island. I had a bigger problem with New York. His New York was so fake, so unbelievably fake. It was more off-putting than Skull Island. I thought Skull Island was a nice setting. Looks to me like he shot it around his home of New Zealand. So, I mean, it looked good. I thought it was I thought Skull Island was nice. I was not a fan of his New York City, though, at all.
Yeah, so let's talk about New York City a little bit. When the movie opens, it's going on this montage of Great Depression era stuff, and it goes on for, over a minute some? Maybe, I don't know, quite a while, and you're just watching it going,
yeah.
Why is this in here? Why are we watching this?
Yeah.
Then it goes to vaudeville, which that's where we're introduced to Anne, but still, that takes too long. Carl Denham's introduction, and that kind of takes a little too long.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of that stuff in there.
I didn't mind the Carl Denham getting to know you scene at the beginning. Because like I said, that he was my favorite character, and seeing, a little bit more for him, that's fine. That opening scene you're talking about where he's shown the Depression era in New York, two or three shots, and I'm in, okay, that's, I know where I'm at, But he shot that for like one stinking minute. It's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And the original movie just took 2 minutes. I mean, this took less time to explain than it did in this movie. Like, oh, we're in the Depression? Okay, got it. But then again, they were in the Depression. But, 5 seconds is all needed to establish.
Yeah, because I think a better opening would have been just opening up with Carl there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's the main guy, because then right after that, you get to meet Anne, and you don't... Well, I don't think her being a vaudevillian performer adds too much at all. I don't really think it does. The only thing it really does next is when they come back before the unveiling of Kong is she goes back to vaudeville and they waste time with that shot there.
Yeah.
With a little song and dance there.
There could have been a scene, a nice simple scene that shows that she was an actress and she's at an audition and she didn't get the role. She goes to steal that orange and there's Carl Denham and he offers the role in the... Because she was debating whether she wanted to be a burlesque dancer or not because she was so poor. I don't know if they had to go that far. Maybe when she comes out of the theater, Carl Denham sees her, after the poor audition, and then, she tries to sell an apple, he gives her the dime, and we go from there. There's a lot of extraneous things in that movie that were not needed at all. Even the action scenes, when we were watching, I'm like, they just fall from one situation into another, and it's getting to be a little bit too much. It's just like, let's just do this, And of course, at that point, they introduce Kong. I no longer care about what Jack Driscoll's doing to Saber. I want to see Kong. I want to see Kong be beating up on things,
So let's go to the main battle where Kong fights the T-Rex.
Yeah.
So not only does he fight one T-Rex, he fights three.
Yeah. Bigger and better.
Which would be a nice scene, but even that scene goes a little too long.
Well, he could have just fought one, and that would have been fine. It would have been like, okay, the scene's over. He fought one T-Rex. And we should be happy with that, because it's like, okay. But, I can only see Peter Jackson going, he only fought one in the original movie. I'm going to have him fight three to show how big and bad he is. Like, I get it,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, now I don't know if that was, I don't know if part of his thinking was, I think the 76 King Kong, which you and I are talking about doing, I don't think he fought any dinosaurs in that one, did he?
No.
I think all he fought was like a giant snake.
Yeah. That original.
I've always just kind of wondered, did he do this one in mind that, well, there were no dinosaurs in that one, so I'm going to really load this sucker up.
In a way, because I barely remember that 76 version, I'll be honest with you. It's been a long time since I saw it. It almost feels like Richard Stanley when he was talking about Iron Dr. Moreau, when he watched the 76, we watched the 70s version, and he wanted to see that girl turn into a puma or a cheetah, whatever she turned into. Like Peter Jackson, the 76 version goes, this is what they should have done, and then went upon doing it,
Yeah. The guy who plays King Kong is actually motion captured by
Andy Serkis.
Who?
Andy Serkis.
So I think King Kong overall looks really good in the movie, and I think Andy Serkis motion capture, he's got nothing to prove with that. He did a good job with it.
Yeah. He did.
I think that's good. I mean, I think the one thing about Kong that gets me is I think the relationship between him and Anne was a little bit much.
Yeah, it was a little too bit overtly.
A little more.
The word.
What's that?
It was almost like she's like, it was like that ending of that Simpsons version of King Kong, where at the end they get married. If that would happen in that movie, I'd be like, that makes sense of how they were looking at each other.
Yeah.
Because
By the end, when he falls off the building, it's like, oh, I love you, and your wife says, I love you, and it's like, just fall off the building now, please.
Yeah. What I love, though, is that Jack Driscoll comes right up on top of the roof after the monkey falls, and she turns around, and it almost looks like she looks at him and goes, oh, my second choice is here. let's hug.
Yeah, exactly. She had that look earlier too, almost when he came to save her the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I think
you know,
they came to understanding her and Kong.
Yeah. She wanted that monkey.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, Peter Jackson wanted to get Fay Wray to be in this movie, but she passed away before that could happen.
All right.
And he wanted her to say the line at the very end that Carl Denham says. What line was that?
Oh, it was beauty that killed the beast.
I think that would have been really cool to have her there to say that. What do you think? If that could have happened, would you have thought that was cool, or would you have thought that was a little too much?
It'd have been all right. I mean, it's one of those things where if it happens, it's nice, but if it didn't happen, it still was okay, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm going to – oh, man, we are coming out close to the end here. So this movie, according to it exceeded Universal execs' expectations. They just thought it looked awesome and that it ended up being awesome. I guess all the monsters and the effects really impressed them. And those are good. That stuff is good. It looks good. They did not skimp on any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I was just looking at the box office. I remember when this came out that it didn't really set the world on fire at the box office. It did respectable. According to Box Office Mojo here, it had a production budget of $207 million.
Yeah.
And its domestic gross was $218 million and some change. So that's not really that awesome of a domestic take for a movie like that. But worldwide, it did $550 million. So,
I mean, it's going to make its money back, but to that time, I think that was the highest budgeted film ever, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think Spider-Man 3 beat it.
What is it now, Avatar?
Oh, I'm not sure what it is now. We'll talk about that when we do the next King Kong. Eventually. Yes. What's that?
I will say that $207 million, it looked like it all went on the screen at least.
It did. Yeah, I agree. It really does look like that. I think you said before, you can tell that Peter Jackson and company really tried with this movie. They really wanted it to be good, that they just didn't know where to stop and where to cut stuff.
Yeah, I think that Peter Jackson treading that same ground of King Kong, he should have took that $207 million and made a Dead Alive sequel or something like that.
Yeah, I kind of wonder, is he going to do that now? Because he's done with the Hobbit stuff. There's nothing else he can do with that. I really would like to see him go back to his roots and do something like that again.
That would be awesome.
That would be. So here we are. We're at 60 seconds. Final thoughts?
See the original.
Yeah, see the original. If you got to watch a remake, this one is better than the 76 one. And it would be interesting if you were just doing some kind of a study just to watch them back to back. But there we have it. So Peter Jackson's King Kong turns 10, and you'll just have to see for yourself, if you haven't seen it yet, what you think. And that's it for us, and we'll be back next time.